seal out drafts, dust, and moisture with MD brand weather stripping from Menards. A well-sealed home is more comfortable and energy efficient. We have the largest selection of in-stock weather stripping with over 100 products available to take home and start lowering your energy bills today. Save big money on weather stripping right now at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to this week's episode of The Hangout, El Hangueo with Jonathan Mejia. I'm super excited for you guys to be here. If you're watching, if you're listening, thank you for being here today. You know, we bring inspiring, real, authentic stories to this podcast, to the show. And today we have no other than Betirri, first name Christian, but he tells me he doesn't like his first name. So we're going to go with Betirri. Betirri, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you for having me.
Talk to us about, obviously, your life, your journey. I mean, you are doing some great things on the art side. You've been to the past at least two World Cups. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about Betirri growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, what was life like, you know, just growing up?
Sure, yes. So I'm originally from Mexico, Puebla, Mexico. That's very close to Mexico City. And I grew up playing football or soccer since I was a child. I played it and watch it. But at the same time, I was a very timid, introverted kid. So I was just drawing as well. So I was, those were two of my biggest passions since I was a child. And around 8 years old, I developed asthma. So I couldn't keep training and playing as I wished. I was actually the Academy of Puebla, the team. And like many other kids in Mexico, your dream is to become a professional player, keep playing football professionally. So that dream for me kind of it killed my dream, my asthma. So I just kept drawing and painting. But I kind of stayed playing football, but just very recreationally. Then when I was almost 15 years old, my family and myself migrated to the United States. We came to Houston. And I just kept playing and mainly painting football as well.
So when you got to Houston, did anything shock you about being in the United States and in the city?
Yes. So one of the things was that, first I didn't know that I was going to end up in Houston living in another country. And first the shock was, of course, that the weather in Puebla, we have very nice weather like in California. So coming to this, we came in August, I remember the date, 17th. It was very, very hot. It's one of the hottest days actually in Houston. So it was very hot. I remember the distances of driving. That was very shocking for me too. And then the food, it was different. So many different things. Obviously, the language for me was very hard to start communicating in other language because since I was very, very timid and shy, I barely spoke with my friends in Spanish. I mean, I knew, of course, Spanish, but for me, it was very difficult to learn English. Those were some of the things or challenges that I had coming here.
And can you dig a little deeper on just the challenges of assimilating into a different culture as well?
So, yeah. Yeah, exactly. There are so many different things as part of the culture. One of them actually, in Mexico, you play and watch football. Like that's the only sport that we have over there. We have others, but that's the major sport. In coming here, it was like you could choose different sports to watch, to play. So for me, it was just difficult to find friends that wanted to play football because it was only friends from either Mexico or South America or Central America that they would play football with me. So that was one of the differences as part of the culture. And I think it is evolving now. But now I remember it was one particular thing that it was just different. And even in 1997, going out and trying to find a place to watch a game because you could only watch them in certain channels, but you needed to have cable. So I don't remember if we were able to afford cable. So yeah, it was very different.
And Christian, at that time, was art still a part of your life?
It always. It has always been art. I feel that art was a way for me to find a place, a safe space for me. And whenever I had a fear or something, I would end up just drawing, painting. It was just a very comfortable space for me. Yeah, very safe. So I remember growing up, I think almost every night I will be sketching and drawing and doing something creative. So yes, it has been always been part of my life.
So talk to us when art kind of transformed into being a passion and something that helped you express yourself to now being your moneymaker, your business.
Yes. So it was a process. Now that I look back, I can tell it create this story that I see how it happened. But so when I migrated to the United States, I was about to finish high school. Then I wanted to go to college, of course, but I didn't know what career to choose to practice. So I didn't know that art could be one that you could practice professionally. So that wasn't even an option. So what I decided to do is I chose architecture, because architecture is like the master of the creative careers. And I started architecture at the University of Houston and graduated in 2007. And that career or profession, I learned so much from it. It teaches you a lot in different ways, how you look at life, how you plan your life as well. And I graduated. So I graduated in 2007. The economic recession hit in 2008, and I had a job as an architect already, but it wasn't like what I really wanted. And I think I had in me my entrepreneurial something in me, because I was always just proposing and doing things. But that back then it didn't work. I actually then started to create my own architecture practice, but it was so hard. So I decided to go back to school and do a double major, and that was in painting. And when I was there at my studio, professors at University of Houston, I love the way they taught art, because they give you a lot of freedom and liberty to paint or do whatever you want. But at the same time, you learn about other artists, like their path, their style, why they painted, what they did. So we learned a lot of different styles in art history. So they said, by the end of the month, you have to have 4 paintings, and either with this style that maybe you like, or your own style. And what I did is I applied my architecture knowledge into art, where I needed to create a concept in painting. So I was just not only drawing or painting what I saw on in front of me. I was just creating a concept of, okay, if I'm going to create this painting, it has to have a meaning. It has to have a concept where it describes something meaningful into the painting. And I remember it was 2008, the Euro Championship was going on, and the Olympics. So there was a lot of sports in TV. I started with a concept where I drew football players without the jerseys, so all nude. And but that was because I grew up reading and learning about like Renaissance artists, and but that didn't catch my attention. So I decided to do the opposite and remove the flesh, remove the bodies and the faces, and that's when I saw something, and that was something that caught my attention, because also I was looking that I was choosing the colors of the jerseys, and I had to also complement that with the background. And so a lot of different things started going on in my mind, and I just kept painting more of this kind of artworks. And from there, they have been evolving. But that was when these paintings were born. And then since I was I'm a person that I'm always trying to do something, and I was just sharing the process of my paintings online, 2009, 2010. And then some agencies and some companies started to see my work. And in 2011, Reebok Brazil, they saw my work, and they commissioned me to do 5 paintings for Reebok. who they were representing a big team in Brazil, which is Internacional de Porto Alegre. And they had won every championship back then in Brazil. So they reached out to me and they said, "Hey, can you do 5 paintings in your own style? We're gonna use them for posters and distribute this in Porto Alegre and give them to the fans." So,
and this is World Cup in Brazil's edition?
No, that was 2011. It was okay. Just a tournament from Brazil. Gotcha. And when I saw that, a big brand, I had no history as an artist, and that's when I saw the potential of this, and I was thinking, wow, I think maybe I should leave architecture on the side and put more time into this, and that's what I did. That was 2011, December, and in 2012, I decided to do that very organically, and then another project came from Mexico City. They commissioned me to do my first mural over there for a company that they do all the publicity in the stadiums. So it was like another big project, and that's when I was thinking, well, I just need to keep painting with this style. And I started just working on learning more about the history of the jerseys, the colors, why I keep painting this, more about the sport. Even though I loved it, I needed to study more about how everything happened, why people like Real Madrid, Barcelona, or different teams. So that's when it became a profession. I put architecture on the side. I was working a little bit as an architect, but then I started selling my paintings, and that's when I learned so much, because I needed to know how to have these paintings in front of people. That football art is still something that collectors are not used to. So it has been an interesting journey now.
So you kind of have a niche.
Yes, it is this niche of fans, right? Of people that love this sport. And since it is a sport that is still not that big in the US, but it's growing. Most of my clients are in different countries. It's just amazing, because I get to meet other countries and different people as well.
So talk to us about 2014. Obviously, that was one of the World Cup years. How did you get involved with that?
So 2012, I decided to pursue art professionally. I didn't know the path. I didn't have a mentor. I just knew that that this concept was going to work, and I decided, okay, I'm going to just kind of live a very basic life. I started by renting a very small studio, small car, just very, very humble, basic life. And I started learning about different things, about the lifestyle that I needed to have, that I wanted. But also, I needed to know how I could grow my career as an artist. So 2014, World Cup was coming, and I thought, well, I'm gonna put myself goals of exhibiting exhibiting my paintings in every World Cup. And I didn't have the funds or the money to go to Brazil. I didn't have the space. I didn't have anything. I didn't know how to make this happen, but I knew that it was going to happen. So I started networking, going out, knocking on doors, and sending emails until a friend of mine, Rebecca, she introduced me to this guy from Porto Alegre. And he's actually a fan of the team that had just painted, made those paintings for Reebok. So she told me, this guy, he lives in Brazil, but he's coming to Houston, and he has this company that maybe he can help you find a place in Brazil. So maybe we can have I can help you set up a breakfast with him. And I said, yeah, perfect. So I printed out the posters and I gave them to him. And I told him, this is my dream. I've been doing this for a few years, and I want to come to Brazil and exhibit my work. And he said, well, I love it. You can stay at my house. I'll find you a place to exhibit them. I'll introduce you to this media and TV channel. And mm-hmm. He was like so well connected in Brazil. So he made everything happen. And I didn't, back then I didn't have the funds to go. And I mean, a trip to Brazil was expensive and everything else. I had to cover that. And I had my painting Real Madrid Barcelona, which became one of my icons in my whole portfolio. And that painting, I had it for a certain price, and I back then, even though I was becoming an artist and sustaining from my career, I didn't want to sell that one. So I kept increasing the price. I kept increasing it until 2014 came, and I needed to sell it to cover my trip and everything else, my expenses. And I sold it back then in 2014. That has been my most expensive painting back then for that I sold it. With that, I was able to cover my trip and my expenses. And then I brought about 8 paintings with me. And I was exhibiting my paintings right at the like in the fan fest, but it was the local fan fest of Rio de Janeiro. It was amazing. The experience was just amazing. I had my paintings in the VIP room, and celebrities were coming and executives were coming. So I sold some of my work. It was just a dream. So I came back and then I said, okay, now what? Yeah, so that happened, and then of course I started to get prepared for the next World Cup,
which was 2018.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what did you learn from 2014 that changed and helped you in 2018?
Well, I learned that I needed to get ready, right? Because if it was another country, I needed to start figuring out how to bring my paintings, what type of work I needed to bring. It was just more of a more organized process that I had. But at the same time, it changed, because even though I had already my plans, Russia was a completely different country. It was something where I didn't have space, I didn't have any contacts. But then I found a person, a gallery from Russia that represented me in Miami, in Art Basel in 2017. And I asked them, hey, do you have a space in Russia? And they said, yes. So I started working on new body of work to bring to Russia. And that was another experience, because I brought 12 paintings. I had new work, a lot of these bodiless paintings. But I also had a series of players when they were little. And I was thinking, when you are little, you don't know that you can become this legend. So I did a series of Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi, and Ronaldinho.
Some of the biggest names in football.
Yeah, yeah. I brought them there. And the interesting thing was that I brought these paintings, and the event was successful. The paintings stayed there, and then because they wanted to kind of expand the exhibition for a few months more. And then they said, well, there's this nonprofit from Moscow that they are looking for our football art, and they're representing different artists, like a collective, and they want to bring these paintings and do a tour in Russia, East Europe, and Asia. Are you interested in this and leaving your paintings with this organization? So I was already here, and I said, yes, I'm interested. I signed the contract. The paintings stayed there. This is interesting, because now since 2018, the paintings are still in Russia, and we haven't been able to bring them back because of the conflict with Ukraine. But they were going to end up in Qatar in 2022.
22, wow.
Yeah. But because of the conflict, they couldn't take out the paintings out of Russia. They say, well, now maybe we can ship them to you to the United States. But now I'm working on with the consulate of Mexico to bring them back, because I need them to exhibit them here in the U.S.
Right. So fast forward, wow, your journey from when you were 8 years old to just painting, as a hobby, to now where you're making a living out of it. Mm-hmm. What would you tell younger Bitirri mm-hmm. about the man and, the artist he has become today?
Mm-hmm. I think I will tell him to really trust, to really have to believe in what you're doing, because that's something that I think that it happens to all of us, that where you have a low moment, you start losing that faith. So really keep believing and believe at most, because when you have a dream and you put yourself like this kind of a bar, I think if you put yourself that highest bar, you are able to accomplish it, but maybe you won't accomplish that high, but you still get a certain level. So I will say that, and really just keep taking action every day. I think for me that's one of the things that I look back and I'm thinking, well, I should have done this, but I didn't take action. So just keep taking action.
And looking forward to 2026, right? You have the Americas, Mexico, United States, and Canada. Mm-hmm. Right here in home, Houston, we're hosting 7 games. Is there any special artwork you're going to be debuting for this World Cup?
Yes. So yesterday at my studio, I introduced a new series called Passion and Professions. And this is about still life with kind of a keeping the same style of a surrealism and football into still life. So this is a completely different path on how I'm working or developing this series of paintings, but it's about professionals from Houston. So I'm bringing a person that has a specific profession or job, and I'm asking them about their objects that they use in at work, and then objects that they use in daily life, and objects that they are passionate about in sports. And with that, I make a combination and a composition on a painting with these objects. And it tells the story of that person through these objects.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, thank you. And I'm presenting these paintings next year. So yesterday at my gallery, we presented the first one. And it is an offshore engineer. So, yeah, I'm excited because it's really telling the story of people through your passion and your profession. So I worked on this concept for about a year until finally I was like, okay, I think this could work.
Petirri, does pink, the color pink, mean anything to you?
Yes, it means life. It means positivism. It is actually pink is the color that it's about optimism. There's a saying that it's living in the pink, so living in the optimism or positivism.
La Vie en Rosa, right? That's where that comes from.
Yeah.
I heard the song.
Yeah, La Vie en Rosa. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And the only reason why I ask you is because, I mean, we just met each other this week in person. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I go through your social media. A couple colors stands out. But, you know, I see you obviously came in a pink blazer. The property in Edo, East Downtown, is pink. And that, like, stands out. So I was like, okay. Pink has to mean something, and I'm just going to ask.
Yeah.
Because it can't be a coincidence.
Yeah, no. Since I started on my brand, I have a good friend who's now my manager. He's helping me, and he was helping me back then. And he's like, you have to come up with a color that represents your brand. And I had always loved pink. And pink has a very interesting history in fashion, in design, in architecture. And I decided to choose it as a color. I love it, and also I like the connotation that people has towards pink, because depending on your own experience, you relate pink to that, right? So most of the time it's about female, but I don't think it's about a gender. It's about the feeling of that color. And when we were building Casa Pink, people were saying, well, this could be maybe Barbie's house. Or this color is like Pepto-Bismol pink. So depending on that connotation of pink, that's your own experience about pink.
I also think it's a great marketing tool. Like, I know that is your home, but also your art gallery. And it's like the area that it's in, it's a 3-story townhouse. Mm-hmm. And you see it just there, right? So I think automatically people are like, oh my God, let me go take an Instagram picture or something there. So it's really great marketing tactic, whether you thought about it or not, but if you haven't, boom,
plug. Yeah.
Petirri, what would you tell young artists today that may want to be able to exhibit their paintings in a museum, fine of arts, or even at a World Cup, or just live off their art, their painting? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the things that I've been telling younger artists is that first know that you want to do this the rest of your life. That is something that you really believe in, that because it is a very challenging career, and there is so much that you have to learn from it. Not only you have to have the skills or talent, but also you need to learn about marketing, business, why you're creating what you're creating, because it's not going to be only... I didn't create this when the World Cup was going on. It was just before that. So, and then I utilized the World Cup as a way to just have more exposure. But find a way of, okay, this is what I want to do. And then from there, just start. But I would also recommend to keep taking action. So that's one of the things that it has helped me a lot. I would just encourage them. Okay, know, have be aware that you want to be an artist, and know that it's going to be challenging, and start, and that's going to be your journey. Yeah.
And Betirri, you're doing so much work. Just obviously with your paintings, but here in Houston, you got the Profession series going on, but also every third Monday leading up to the World Cup, you're reliving some of the greatest moments in World Cup history. So where can people find you and your work?
Yes, I'm pretty active on social media as Artist Betirri, and I have my website, betirri.com. So either platform, they can find me, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, all the platforms. And I try to be pretty responsive.
Well, Betirri, thank you so much for joining the Hangout today. We greatly appreciate you having here. And if you're tuning into this episode or listening to it on your favorite podcast platform, thank you for listening. I think one thing you can learn from Betirri is to never stop and keep on going. And if you have a dream, a goal, set the bar high, because whether you reach it, at least you're working towards it. So if he can make it from Mexico to all these World Cup editions, you can do whatever you can in your life. Thank you so much.
Thank you.